Hello, Yes But Why listeners. This is your host, Amy Jordan. Welcome to Yes But Why, episode 248. My chat with writer-actor Gary Maselli and comedian-actor Noel Gibson. But first, let's talk about our sponsors. Today's episode is sponsored by Audible. Get your free audiobook download and your 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/yesbutwhy. Guys, my super fave, Keegan-Michael Key, just came out with this Audible exclusive called The History of Sketch Comedy. Are you kidding me? That is my jam. Maybe there's something out there that you'd love to hear about. Audible is available on most of the devices in your home. Go now to audibletrial.com/yesbutwhy to download the app and sign up to get your free audiobook today. Our other sponsor for today's episode is my company, podcastcadet.com. My husband Chris and I run the company PodcastCadet.com. We provide advice and production help to anyone who needs it. We can give you a little push, or we can help you with the production of all of your podcast episodes. Contact us now at PodcastCadet.com and use code YBY20 to get 20% off the first service or workshop you buy. PodcastCadet.com, helping creators navigate the waters of podcasting. This week on Yes But Why, Gary Maselli and Noel Gibson came on the podcast to promote their new comedy series, Freshman Circus. Freshman Circus is a comedy web series about navigating freshman year in college in the world of online classes. Freshman Circus is streaming now on YouTube. New episodes come out every Wednesday. In this episode, Gary, Noel, and I talk about improv, ghost stories, and film memorabilia. We discuss how improv training has helped us with all of our collaborative projects. I now present to you Yes But Why, episode 248. Gary Maselli and Noel Gibson discuss creativity during the pandemic and their new comedy series, Freshman Circus. Enjoy! Amy Jordan, and this is Yes But Why Podcast. Yeah.
Well, I grew up as a dancer. So, yeah, dancing. I was in ballet and tap, and the first time I was on a recital and I could see the attention that, like, and how it affected people. And I was only like five. I was just in love. And I never, like, I since like 4 or 5 years old, my grandparents would tell you, I've always just wanted to be an entertainer. Like that, you know, I mean, they probably actually would have said when I came out of the womb, honestly, because I was probably trying to entertain then, but you know, fashionably late, 2 weeks overdue, you know how it is. But no, like, really, I love tap. They dressed us up as, and ballet, because, you know, back in the day, you had to be in ballet. Mm-hmm. See, now you can just, like, go straight into hip-hop, and you couldn't then. Mm-hmm. And I think one of my first performances, if I remember, was we were like, what is that doll that's, like, see, this is, like, before my time even. Like, she has, like, red hair and yarn, like, Raggedy Ann or something like that. Yeah. I think that is that what her name is, right?
Yeah, Raggedy Ann.
Yeah, it is Raggedy Ann. And you know, I'm like the only, like, raised my white side, only black one. So I was a black Raggedy Ann. And I mean, yeah, did I stand out because of that? Probably. But I like to tell myself because I was also the best dancer.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Yeah. With those big, like, I'll never forget my girl just putting like that stick blush on my cheeks. Just bright red, like horrific. Like that is not meant to be on someone like me. But yeah, I loved it. So from then on, I would video. I had my grandparents like recorder. I would video. I'd make my friends come over, and I always wanted to make like videos. And yeah,
what kind of videos did you make? Like home films, or were you guys doing music videos?
Why music videos? Because, you know, that was like the hot thing. You know, everyone wanted to be MTV somehow. Mm-hmm. And like, I just remember that if any of these videos ever got like seen, I would be mortified because there's like one of me and my friends like in a hot tub and I'm making us wear like those star sunglasses. And I'm like, we're like literally like 8 years old, y'all. Like, yeah, like singing songs. I probably couldn't even tell you, like, a genie in a bottle. Who knows? At the time, I thought it really meant a genie in a bottle. Totally not. But yeah, no one else do that.
Oh, I mean, I definitely made a ridiculous amount of videos that I'm glad the technology no longer exists to watch them, for sure. I'm
so with that. Like, I'm like, oh, man, that would be mortifying. Like, I remember my grandpa coming home one time and just screaming because I'm on top of a roof. And I thought it would be great because I wanted to get a bird eye view of this shot. And I'm making my friends like video and I'm literally on our roof. And I have like Christmas lights as a runway. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my
God. How did you? I mean, clearly you didn't break your leg. The story didn't end with. No. And that's when I broke my leg.
Yeah, right. I feel like that would have been an epic story plot. No, it was just I had to get down. But, you know, I had to get that shot, though, you know, just like any true filmmaker.
Dude, that's amazing that you like put the effort in to like get that shot. You're like, I'm going to the roof, you guys. And they're like, yeah, we're doing this. We are serious.
Oh, we thought we were so serious.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah, very real.
That's so fun. Yeah. That's so fun. Now, Gary, did you associate with the attention getting? Were you into it? What happened to you? What was your story?
My story. There was a lot of moments that I figured, you know, this is right. But I think one of the ones that was clearest to me was I had to have been. Had to have been like 6 or 7 years old. And I went into Planet Hollywood in New Jersey. And if you guys know that restaurant, there's memorabilia and movie stuff all around you. And as soon as I went there, I said, this is home. This is it for me. This is everything. And I said, this is my life. And that's where it really began.
And that's where you just pitched your tent and that's where you stayed since, right?
Literally. Yeah.
Hey man, that's great. Is your house filled with just memorabilia like that?
Oh yeah.
You have like like a boat hanging on the wall and like street signs and
yeah, I have quite a bit of stuff. I just got two scripts from the Dick Van Dyke Show that were used on set.
Oh my God. Oh, you're legit.
Yeah, like you really are into that.
Yeah, Also, if you go on Amazon.com, I wrote a book about how to start collecting Hollywood memorabilia. Go to Amazon to Prime.
You have a book out, Gary? How have I not known this?
Yeah. And
I was aware of the book, but I'm excited that that this is like why you have it, right? Like that's so cool. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my second book is coming out. It's in the next 3 weeks. It's going to come out on Amazon as well.
Look at
you. Is it also about memorabilia?
No, this book that I'm writing is about ghost stories that people told me from around the world. So people in like England told me a ghost story and people in Switzerland and people in London and people in New York and people all around telling me these ghost stories. And I said, maybe there's some truth to this because there's literally people from all around the world experiencing this stuff. Look, I tell people, I don't know if it's true or not. I wasn't there, so... But maybe there is.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I love these two separate, totally different like book situations. The first question I want to say. So I'm so into both of them. Okay, let's go into memorabilia. Memorabilia, right. Super interesting that was like a thing that you were into.
Yeah.
Or do you then, okay, so because you're interested in this memorabilia, do you collect all the stuff from projects that you yourself work on? Do you have like a box where it's like, this is from this film that I did. This is from this play that I did. Like, do you collect stuff as you do your own projects?
No, I don't. I know I have all the scripts for the show we just worked on, Freshman Circus. They're all in the pile somewhere on my desk somewhere. But other than that, I don't really collect from the things I do. Because I figured I was there. I experienced it. I don't need anything from it.
What about the fans, Gary? They're going to be out there trying to buy the scripts someday. Yeah. You just bought two Dick Van Dyke scripts, you know? That yeah, the person I was really who excited. Wrote that was definitely not expecting anyone would want to buy it when they wrote it. I mean, like, think of the people writing Dick Van Dyke. It's not Dick Van Dyke, right? It's people who are sitting around like, what does Dick Van Dyke want to say? All right, let's write this. Right? And now that guy, likely guy's words are like something that you're like excited to have. Like, that's awesome. As a writer, I find that very great.
Yeah, it's funny story. I'm sure you know the show The Munsters.
Uh-huh.
Well, I got a script from The Munsters, and I said, Butch Patrick is still alive. And I said, he's still alive. He's signing on. I wonder if I can get him to sign it. So whatever. I put it in the bed. I put it in my envelope. I go to the post office, and the guy goes, Butch Patrick? I go, yeah, it's just something from The Munsters. I want him to sign for me. He goes, I'm surprised you even know who the hell he is. I yeah. I can see that.
I appreciate it. That you're I so understand. Into it.
Is this Monsters Inc. or a different Monsters?
This is the 60s. This is the 60s television show, The Munsters.
Oh, okay. I have no idea what that is. I was like, yeah. I love Monsters Inc.
Yeah. The people that wrote that are definitely still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're definitely alive.
Yeah. Figured so.
Everyone is from the movie. I'm sure well awake right now even.
They're doing okay. They're pretty good.
They're fine.
Yeah. No, I like the idea that, was it your postman that was giving you a hard time? Postman's like, I don't even know what this is.
Yeah, he looked at me. I said, yeah, this, I'm just getting Butch Patrick to sign my script. You know, he's still alive. And he goes, you know who he is? I said, yeah. I the only thing I really watch is 60s and 70s television. Like, I don't like Jimmy Fallon. I prefer Johnny Carson when I watch him every night. Like, and he just looked at me like I have five heads.
No, man, I hear you. I am so into, you know, one of the, my husband and I, every night we watch the show MASH,
which is
like
MASH.
A 70s television show about the Korean yep. War.
Yeah.
None of the references of anything makes any sense. I mean, does now because we've like watched it enough that I'm like, I should probably look that up so I know what they're talking about. But like super into it. Like I yeah. even watch old game shows on Buzzer started as a channel. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I was like, tell me everything. I want to watch Match Game with like super old, like probably everyone's dead, but I love how like sassy and wild they are from the 60s and 70s. Oh man. Yeah, there's something fun about that. Who knows? I mean, I really like this, that idea. Also, by the way, do you live in New Jersey or New York?
No, New York.
Okay, because I was like, it's either New Jersey or New York where your postman's giving you sass. Like, I was like, what? Who is this dude that he's all like, yeah, I'll deliver your mail, but let me give you some opinions about your life. You're like, okay. Yeah.
His name is Norman. And I said, you know, Norman, the girl from My Dream of Jeannie is still alive. She's 89. And he goes, thought she was dead.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, no, she's still around. She still does conventions. And he goes, oh okay.
Can you just start a podcast with him where you just tell him random things and he gives you like one or two word answers back that are...
He's really thin, really tall, and he seems to be like, if you gave him anything, he'd look at you and go, oh, okay.
Did your postman contribute a ghost story to the new book?
No, he did not. I wish he did, though. If I asked him for a ghost story, he'd look at me and go, yeah, it was spooky. Is that it? Yeah.
Yep. So, pretty okay. good. You believe in ghosts? Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
That's Norman.
Cool.
I always say, okay, thank you so much, Norman, see you later. He goes, okay. He doesn't say goodbye. Just see you later, Norman.
I'm telling you, this guy's a character waiting to be written. I'll tell you that. Norman the Postman, he's a good dude. let's sidetrack to tell me about the Ghost Stories book, because I find it fascinating that you not only like are culling these stories together to make a book, but that like people are just like coming at you with these stories. They're like, hey, Gary, nice to meet you. Super fun spending time with you. By the way, have I told you about the ghosts in my life? How does that come up? How is that a thing that you even get involved in?
Well, you know, I knew the ghost world, especially for me, was really, really muddied because of all these TV shows like Ghost Hunters and all this stuff that you realize after a while, it's probably fake. If things didn't happen, they wouldn't have a TV show kind of thing.
Right.
So yeah. I figured there has to be something out there. So I went on some Facebook groups that had all ghost stories and people post like around the clock saying, this is what happened to me. And I messaged some of them. I said, I would love to use your story for a book. And they said, absolutely. And when you read these stories and I always say, just email me as much information as you can. And they come from all walks of life, poor, rich. Some of them don't speak English. Some of them speak it well. I mean, some of them from London, some of them from New York. And I really thought that maybe there is something here. I mean, there's so many people telling me all these wild things that I don't know if all of them can be making it up.
So is that the creative form that you find yourself in? Like, are you often culling stories from, you know, experiences people have in life? Is that where you get your ideas? Like, huh, I'll seem and to notice that this is happening to a lot of people. Let's explore this as a writer, as a creator. Is that what inspires you?
Yeah, I do like to explore that. I do love to go back to the old television, the old movies, and try to learn from them and talk to the older people and try to see and learn from them. But yeah, this book to me was my first book on this subject. And yeah, it just really inspired me that the first one came out and he was so open and he was like, this is really what happened to me. Like, you can believe me or not, but this is literally what happened to me. And I said, you know, they don't want anything. They just want me to listen to their story. And I said, maybe there is, maybe who knows?
I mean, if nothing else, I think you did a service to the people who needed to tell their story for you.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. You gave them an opening. Like,
Yeah. It's definitely, I find a lot of the projects that I really gear towards is trying to help others. Because for some of them, to me, they said it's therapeutic. I mean, to relive it, to have someone hear it and to publish it and to get it out there. I mean, it helps them. So if I can help anyone, I mean, that's what it's all here for.
Oh, nice. Good for you. I'm mostly here for the accolades and people to tell me that I'm pretty. So I like that you want to help people. That's good. That's solid. All right, Noelle, I have a question. Do you believe in ghosts?
I believe in spirits.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I don't know what I believe, but I mean, I guess I probably don't, but I've just never had an experience with them, right? So if something happened to me, I'd probably be like, yep, I believe it. Like, I'm like a thread away from being like totally into it, but I don't know. It's one of those things. It's just like, I don't know. Never happened to me.
I'm with you. I've never like experienced, and I don't need to. I'm not one that wants to. Don't care.
Oh, yeah, no, thank you.
You know, like, I'm good. Like, I even say, like, I'm a huge God-fearing woman, and I'm like, even Jesus knows not to show up with me. You know what I mean? Like, don't play with me right now. Like,
please don't. Please,
you know, do like, not. That is like another level. Like, I'm not trying. I'm good.
Oh, I know. What about like the worst person to show up? You're like, no. What are you doing? Get out of here.
Exactly.
I don't need to talk to you right now. If you're here, it's not good. Come on.
Exactly. You're about to tell me something, take me away, or something's about to go down. And then like, I would try to pull the whole, like, put a blanket over my head as his light's beaming beyond that blanket. I'm like, I don't see you. I don't. It's not happening. He's like, okay, Noelle. I'm like, no.
Oh, my God. I know. Same. I'd be like, nothing's happening right now. The ghost's like, I'm right here. I'm just floating in front of you. I'm like, no. Oh, gosh. Noelle, I would love to chat with you. You said you got involved in dance when you were a kid, but I read your bio, and it seems like you've gotten involved in a lot of, like, comedy and film throughout your life. how did that manifest for you? Like, how did you get into that? And not only get into it, but like really start working.
I mean, how do I begin with just like 20 minutes left or something? No, I'm just kidding.
You're okay.
It's funny, like everything just kind of manifests together. Like I've always, like when I was younger, I'd always say I wanted to be an entertainer. There was never something specific. I just loved entertaining. But like comedy was just always a relief for me, you know, growing up small town, only black person, you know, like literally my parents are white, don't know my black side. You had to find a lot of comedy and stuff. And I come from South Dakota. So like a lot of ignorance, racism, you know, good people, but borderline ignorant and stuff. And so like I learned at a very young age, if you made fun of yourself, no one can make fun of you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that just kind of manifested in itself. And real talk, I've never really said this out loud. I've always wanted to be a singer, but I just didn't get that talent really. And I thought I did, but you know, like back in the day when you make a voicemail, it would be like you like recording like the song and that would be like the voicemail for your cell phone. I remember doing one with my voice thinking I was singing this like Destiny's Child song and realized very quickly that I do not sound how I thought I sounded. singing was out the door, but I could dance and I was like, J-Lo, like Jennifer Lopez, she like performs, she's an actor and she's a dancer, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think just like watching like that, you know, people like that. And
the original
and
fly girl on a comedy show.
For real. So yeah. Like all of this kind of just went together and I've always just, I think that's something that just really sparkled to me. And being from small town, there wasn't much you could do. So theater, you know, I fell into and.
You know, the great thing about comedy and singing is that if you want to, you have to have talent to be a singer to sing like serious songs. But if you want to sing a song about like how there isn't any more toilet paper left or like something funny, you know, you don't have to sound good.
You're so right. Like literally, like musical improv and that, bring it with me. Like that's when I started like rap freestyling, which I can freestyle, but like, you're so right. Like that's literally it. Like I could still be in these fairy tale Disney ways, just in a comedic way. So I definitely fell in that in. But you know, ironically enough though, all the awards, which I don't really post around and stuff that I've won have actually been for like drama.
How'd you like get into, like, did you take acting classes for dramatic acting? I know that you have training in comedy in the improv world, but like what sort of education did you put into it? Like school or even just your otherwise workshops or whatever?
Over 10 years of training and that Stanislavski trained, you know, Stella Adler and. Did a little Meisner, did not like it. Don't really care for the repeat, you know, but we all know that mirror. I mean, I did it, you know, but it's done. Like, I don't use it really. I want to be completely honest. But I love Stanislavski. Like, I don't like to read. I've read only like pretty much the Holy Bible. Honestly, I am an audiobook person, but like the actor in The Target, real talk, is probably one of the best for actors. And, so I'm classically trained and I won a couple, years in a row for oral interpretation. So I would interpret like spoken word and that. So I think that, and, they always had the comedic side filled in, but they didn't have the dramatic and the, team side. So I just always did that and I won. Yeah. And one act plays, I just happened to be, and, got to study Shakespeare. Again, not my biggest cup of tea, but I do believe you have to, you know, you need to understand it. And
you totally got to know Shakespeare, if only just to like chat with people sometimes, like in certain theater circles. You're just like, what is it we're talking about? Oh, yeah.
No, Amy, like story of my life. We always say that, like, seriously, like you are either a theater, like, guru, like nerd to its finest, or you're like TV and film, and like there's such a broad difference of like, oh yeah, that's a theater person, they're talking about every play. I have no idea if it's not made into a movie.
Oh my
god, I would know right then and there. And oh, and you know, you're a sketch teacher, and I love sketch. You know, I had a team. I have a team, Woka, Women of Color Anonymous, and we, you know, performed at UCB, had our own show, and all that. You know, RIP. We do have our own show, but all that kind of went out the door. And
were
I love
you
it.
Like active there and just experienced the shutdown of the LA space?
Yes, I was one of the head. Yeah, I had a show. So yeah, it's very real.
I'm so sorry. I just heard that happened, and I was like, you know, bemoaning it with my friends online, but I didn't actually really. I mean, other than Billy Merritt, he's the only person that I like really know that's over there.
Stop. That's my first improv teacher. That's so crazy. And he only does 404 and all that now, but back in the day, I'm not gonna age myself, just a year ago, no, I'm just kidding, I like taught the 101 and 201, and because of him I actually like stuck into improv. You know, quick small story, but I came out here for acting and dance. Mainly acting, but you know, you gotta pay those bills, so I would dance. You know, there were some certain auditions for dancers and that. And to clarify, everybody, I am a trained classical dancer, ballet, tap, jazz, modern, hip hop, not on a pole. Gotta pay me a lot more.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. Just kidding. But I came out here for acting and that. However, you know, 2013 and that, like, it was huge for improv, you know, like really, like, and UCB was really blowing up. And so I did it, and because Billy, I actually stuck through it. He, you know, he passed me through and said I have a lot of talent. And I'll never forget the one thing he said the first day of class, which I knew I wanted to be there, was like, if you want to make this a show about just you and just do stand up, you can leave now, because this ain't gonna be about you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, this is my kind of dude, because I did not want to do stand up, even though I do it now. But yeah, I just love the whole team aspect and like being on the spot. And as you called out, you don't have to be a great singer, but if you're willing to invest and really go all in and commit, I mean, you and your partner on there, you can go pretty far.
Not to mention the fact that, you know, the idea of improv really does help for, you know, collaborative projects. Like, if you learn those particular skills, it can really help you when you're working on any team project. And I mean, let's be clear, any TV or film or heck, even theater is a team project. You're all meeting together to put something together and make it happen. So you know, you need those kinds of skills. And whether you use them in a onstage comedy way or you're using them just to kind of like move forward and be a creative person, right?
No, you're so right. You're so right. And I can't even deny that once I really buckled into it. I mean, I got my first co-star, you know, I was on the Mindy Project. You're 100% right. And yes, it was based off my acting and stuff too, but I'll be honest, a lot of it was my improv, was just being able to book a room, being able to, like you said, collaborate. And it really has helped me creatively and even personally. But you're so right.
So Gary, you're, at the helm of the project that you and Noel are working together on, the Freshman Circus, what sort of collaborative projects prior to this current show that you're working on now have you been a part of?
Yeah. So I studied at Second City and from Chicago. I love it. It's really wonderful. And collaborative projects, I love collaborating with others and trying to hear people's ideas and trying to go forward with that. And improv was a big part of the project we're doing now. You know, there were scripts every week, of course, but I wanted everyone to, if they have something better to say than the actual line, say it instead.
Did you do like a bunch of wild lines and like see how it went? Or did you do like the whole thing with like the freedom to adjust?
Yeah. So we did a safety take. Noel knows this. We did a take where it was just line for line, word for word. And then little by little, we do one or two more takes with just improvising, just going forward. And then if someone says something funny, I would just write it down and say, you know, let's do it again, but say this. And, Yeah, we had a lot of fun. It was a lot of improv. It was a lot of, it's like a big sketch show.
Now, how you, it was you and Gary McKee that came together to put this project together. What inspired you guys to get it going?
So originally I had come up with the idea in June of last year. I came up with the idea in June 2020, like the heart of the pandemic. And then I said, well, you know what? I can't get people together, so why not just try to do it online and try to see if we can do it in Zoom? Because I know the movie Unfriended, if you know that movie, they did everything via Zoom. It was a horror movie. And I said, you know what? Maybe we could do something like this. So I got a cast together, and some people dropped out. And I met with Gary McKee via Zoom, and he said, you know what? Let's produce this and let's get this going. And then we got people, and I got the teacher, who Jessica Darter, and it's wonderful. And then Gary McKee got Noel, and Jesse, and kind of just came together, and we were able to improv off each other and bounce ideas off each other. And it was really something.
So you guys found different people in your individual circles, and then like, were like, hey, I'd love to work on a project with you. Want to do this fun thing, and then just put it together. That's so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really, really great. And especially like with these scripts, I didn't know if it would exactly work, because a lot of the characters, all the characters that we wrote were really, really specific people. And if I figured that if the wrong person was going to play one of the roles, I just didn't think it'd work. But everyone was great and everyone came together, and it just happened.
In your mind, what was the, you said you wrote all these specific characters. Like, were you trying to capture specific people that you knew in your life? Or like, were you going for tropes? How did you develop these characters? What did they like represent to you?
Yeah. So all the characters were characters that I personally went to school with. Awesome. Yeah. And all the characters, if you see all five of us, we're really at opposite ends of the spectrum. Kevin is so far away from Zeke, and Zeke is so far away from Noah. Like, we are literally at the ends of every corner of the room. And I said, we have to find people that can go further and to make these people. It's like the people you don't expect to get along, and they get along.
Awesome. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think that there's something fun about finding a group of people you wouldn't expect to be friends to end up being friends. I think that's the basis on tons and tons of sitcoms and stuff like that. So you're on the right track for sure. An unlikely group of people becomes total besties. Super fun. Now, how did you connect? How did you even meet Gary McKee? From the sounds of it, is Gary in LA?
Yes, Gary is in LA.
So we had Gary on both coasts handling the Garys, and then getting different friends from either circle. But how did you guys even meet?
So I was doing this project, and we needed one more cast member, and I posted in a group on Facebook, like an acting group or something, like an indie filmmaker group or something. And I said, I'm casting for this project. We need this and this and this. You don't have to come because it's all via Zoom, so you'll be safe. And I got a few people. And then Gary McKee said, here's my reel and look at what I do. And I looked at it and I loved it. And I contacted him and I said, hey, let's collaborate, be a part of this thing. And then we got the cast together. And then a few people dropped out. And then Gary McKee was like, you know what? I think this project is good. Let's keep going. And if you want, I know people. And I said, Gary, like, we have to get really, like, really, really good actors to play these people. And he said, don't worry. And then it became what it became.
Awesome. Man, I have totally been there putting together a project and having a bunch of people drop out. Oh, man, yeah. 4 years. That is like such a... I hate it. It's my like least favorite rite of passage in the, show producer's handbook of like, well, you're just going to have to deal with that. By the way, they're going to walk out. I had a person one time on a sketch show that we'd been working on for a month quit the day before the show.
Oh, no.
Before the show. I was like, okay. super cool. Ay, ay, ay. Right? So I totally feel you. Thank goodness you found a good pal and Gary McKee, who was able to connect you with some people to make this, to put it together. Now, did you guys, you came up with the idea in June 2020. I mean, clearly you were thinking ahead to this unusual experience that college students are encountering, like now, where they're doing sort of like an online situation. Was that clearly, I have no idea. I'm assuming, no, both of you are older than college. So you're not in college right now. But like, what made you even think of these kinds of characters? Like, what made you want to write a story for this group of people that are going to have to go through this sort of online education thing?
So I was finishing college. I just finished in August.
Right on.
And when I was, because my second to last semester started in quarantine.
Yeah.
They said, don't come back to school. I said, well, I'm almost done anyway. They said, don't come back to school, sit home, and we'll have this in Zoom. And when we all went to Zoom, we all had our cameras on, and everyone just looked so weird. Everyone just looked like someone was in a robe. Someone had their dog on the lap, someone like their mom was in the background. And I was like, there's something here. And then I was creating the idea and kind of thinking of the characters. And then in June, I was almost done with college. And then June and July-ish, I went online and I found the great Gary McKee, and we were able to get this together. And I said, Gary, I said, look, if we don't put the show out now, I don't think it's going to be relevant in a year, because in a year, who knows if we'll be back to normal.
So you guys were looking at it and you're like, I don't know if this is going to be relevant in a year. And then did that just light the fire under your butt?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, I've wanted to do this kind of show for a long time. But I said, you know what, if we don't get this done now, you know, like, think about this. Right now it's 1/25, 2021. In a year, will we be in quarantine? I probably don't think so. So I don't know if they're doing online school. I know when I turn on the news, it keeps saying they're going to have more and more people going to school. So
I'm knocking on all the wood around me because I would like to not be in quarantine in 1 year, please.
Yeah.
That would be super helpful to my life. But like, yeah, no, I mean, you know, what's interesting is that I think there's going to be, for projects that are about this kind of thing, like, I think there's something to this time that we all went through, right? And there's something to the unifying nature of it, where like, it wasn't just the US that went through it, or it wasn't just North America that went through it. It was all like, hey, globe, happening, like, to everyone all at once. And it really, like, I mean, personally, I was able to connect with people from across the world and just be like, you know, how's it going for you? And we are both having the same experience. And it's like, how am I talking to this like 35-year-old girl in India and like we are the same somehow? Like, but, you know, I think so. What I mean to say is, I'm glad that you made it. I'm glad that you have it like coming out now. And I think it's right on point. You know, definitely people have gone through what you are enacting, you know, this sort of like freshman orientation, but online somehow. Right. And that's got to be weird. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the episodes and how weird and wild they get after the first one that I watched. But, you know, like, I think that what's going to happen with this kind of content is that, yeah, in a year or two, it's, people aren't going to want to watch it, but give it more time and then people are going to come back to it.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, oh, you remember? Because like, you, like, even Gary, we've been talking about how like you and I are like into shows that were made in the like 60s and 70s. What? Oh, yeah. Who knew that? Like, nobody who was making MASH was like, I sure hope somebody in 2021 watches this. Like, no one was thinking that, right? But there's gonna be a renaissance. So like, don't, for yourself, for like you, Gary, and you, Noel, and everyone who's listening, like, if you have stuff, ideas that are, like, related to this time, even if you're like, nobody wants to do that, write it, get it done, put it out there, have it. Because in 5 years, in 10 years, we're going to be like, oh, man, remember that thing that we all went through? Let's look at it. Let's check it out. And then we're going to like get into all of the like quarantine stuff, because there's been tons of stuff that was made purely because we're all trying to be creative and like get it out of ourselves. Like, I can't even believe it, Gary. You were a senior in college, had your last semester in this freaking insanity. Like, yeah. That's just like, so like, but that means so much to, like, it was such a big deal in your life. Like, someday you're going to go and you're going to be like, no, but like in the future, like in 10 years, they're going to be like, oh, when'd you graduate from college? And be like, I graduated in 2020. COVID. And they'll be like, what? No way.
Like, I know, I always think about like the history books, you know, like how much we had to memorize. Can you guys imagine like how many events they're going to have to memorize in 2020? Like, seriously, the Zoom, the COVID outbreak, the
Pfizer vaccine.
The vaccine, the fires, the protesting.
Yeah.
Trump is no longer in office.
Excuse me. I am here. I've created the most amazing vaccine, tremendous vaccine.
Not to mention all the other insane crap, like the murder hornets and the monolith and the like...
Betty White's birthday.
I get you, Amy. And how many people passed away? Like, I totally know what you're saying. It's going to have this, like, nostalgia thing that everyone will look back on and be like, oh, I remember that. Yeah, I agree.
So, like, now we're in it. It's a perfect time for this to come out because people are like, oh, man, check this out. Does this or does this not look exactly like what happened to us in the fall? Right? Yeah. So, like, they're going to be into it now because they're in it. But... in a few years, like, yeah, maybe in a year, people are like, no thanks. But like, give it a little bit and they're going to be coming back. They're going to be loving the little Zoom looks that we all are getting into, right? I mean, I thought you guys did a great job as far as like, because like it, I know that I've looked at 1,000 Zoom shows at this point, but when I watched it, even though I knew it was Zoom, I still didn't know at first. I was just like, oh, well, this is interesting. And then I was like, oh, I see what's going on. Oh, fun. Okay, cool. You know what I mean? But like, so what I mean to say is like, it looked good and like everybody was well lit and like, you know, it wasn't like your class, Gary, where you're like looking at the people and you're like, is that guy got a bathrobe on? Like, if a guy's got a bathrobe on in your show, it's fancy and it's also well lit and I can see that bathrobe, right? You know what I mean? Like, so, I mean, it looks really good. You guys did a good job putting production value into it for sure.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and it was really fun. It was interesting. It was a crazy different experience. I mean, for me personally, even like, you know, I'm blessed to be on a show right now, a kid show in that. And I've been on like TV shows and that, but I've never done like at home besides self-tapes. Right. So it was kind of cool to like be halfway naked half the time and no one knew.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everyone's just wearing weird shorts at all times. Yeah,
no pants, cameras rolling.
Yeah, right. Just kidding. But no, but really though, like I wouldn't have, like we would change different quick tops. You know what I mean? Like it was interesting. And like, it was a cool experience and I got to meet everybody, you know, I mean, I knew Jesse and Gary, the other Gary. That's how I call them. The other Gary.
The other Gary. Whoever you're with, you just refer to the other guy as the other Gary.
It's like the black or the Italian one. Are you Italian?
Right. I'm 100% Sicilian.
I figured you're 100%. I was going to say Sicilian. I was going to say that, but I don't, you know, I wanted to broaden it just in case, you know, like Italian, you know.
I mean, if I did one of those tests, I'm sure it would come back 98% this, 1.1% this, 0.5% that. So.
No, I get you. I feel you, you know. Yeah, no, I get that. I was going to say a crazy joke, but yeah. No, it was cool. It was interesting and it was a blessing to be on, and it was definitely fun to play Ingrid and be the vegan lover who obviously lost it Do I get to do a spoiler alerts? No, I can't. I can't say anything, right, Gary?
No, I don't think you should.
Not yet.
I can't. There's a spoiler, but I'm a vegan lover.
You're a wacky gal, and it's a fun character for sure. For sure. It seemed like it was real fun. I mean, everybody got some juiciness to dig into for sure, you know?
Yeah.
And I love that it's based on people that you really know, Gary. Like, that's so much better. Like, if you were like, oh, well, I just thought these kinds of people would be around. No, no, these are real humans who are, like, potentially going to watch it and be like, wait a minute. Is that me? You trying to say me? Oh my gosh, so funny. So your the show is out on YouTube and Amazon Prime now, and they're being released once a week, is that correct?
Yes, every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday a new episode comes out, and it's 8 episodes in this first season. Will there be more? Do you have lots of stuff in the works? Did you guys just record 20 years worth of material? You're just going to keep putting them out?
More? Noelle, you can answer this for me.
There's 8 episodes, and you'll be checking them all out. And, you know, again, I don't know if it's, you can't put this on me, but spoiler, there might be a season 2.
Spoiler alert, there might be a season 2.
How do I say that stuff?
You know, if everyone wants to come back and do it, I think if everyone wants to come back and do it and collaborate again and find more things with these characters and give them a bigger journey, that'd be fantastic. Yeah, I'd be open. I mean,
I was going to be like, they don't all die at the end, do they? I mean, like, spoiler alert for sure. But if there's like a bus accident, like, that's going to be a problem.
COVID took over. No.
Yeah.
So bad.
That would be so terrible. The second season is like way more serious. It's like ER meets like Contagion. They're just like running around.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because that was something that like definitely takes like a turn. Is like it really starts comedy, but he kind of gets into dramedy, wouldn't you say, Gary? Like, after like, you know, fifth episode, you start, there's like this turn. Yeah, that's very interesting, and I think which gives it a lot more meat to it.
Mm.
Yeah, so that'll be.
I like it. Gary, you mentioned that when you write and when you create projects, you like to help people. Were you creating this project to kind of make light of the what could be a rough experience for college students?
So creating this... Yeah, absolutely. I thought that college students are having a hard time right now. Kids in junior high, kids in high school, everyone's having a rough time staying at home. Because, look, we want to be with our friends. We want to hug our friends. We want to, you know, play sports and everything. But I thought this would be a good opportunity for us to create a show that could potentially help people and make light of the situation. Because I think where there's darkness, there's comedy. So I think people can come together and to watch the show. And I also figured this could be kind of like a time capsule, and people can discover it on YouTube in, you know, 2 or 3 years and say, why are they at home? Oh, I remember.
Yeah. No, that stuff's like real, like legit. I'm telling you, in a few years, it's going to be like certain, like, you know, having this out is so important because, you know, so many of us had ideas or started projects or whatever, but they didn't make it all the way out. And, you know, this being out, you know, it does. It's a time capsule of what happened during this time, the way that we worked together, the way that we connected. Even the idea that your cast is all across the country is so fun. Yeah. Like, it's not like you're all in the same town and you just happen to be at your own homes. You're like all over the place. You've never actually met these people, which is great.
Yeah.
It's so much more fun, and the opens my mind and opens other creative people's minds to like what can be accomplished. It, you know, it doesn't just have to be, you know, any, you don't have to be in New York or LA. You can be anywhere and be part of these cool projects, right?
Yeah, I think it gives us definitely hope for the future, because we all remember 20 years ago, 15 years, even 10 years ago, social media wasn't a thing. I remember when the YouTube boom hit, Tayzaun Day sang Chocolate Rain about, I think, 2007, 2008, and that got really, really popular. But then YouTube didn't become an official thing until, you know, much later to now, people getting monetized and people are making money. And it's to the point where if you really want to make your short film or your feature, go ahead and go make it. I mean, you can. I mean, I've seen people create things for nothing and create magic for nothing. I mean, and I think this project gave me hope that, because look, I'm not a social media guy. The only thing I have is Facebook and LinkedIn and IMDb. That's all I have. I don't do Instagram. I don't know.
I love how he says like all of them but two. I am just social media. No, I love it.
I don't want people to look at what I'm eating every day. I'd be really boring on Instagram. But yeah, I was able to go on and go to this group on Facebook, this indie film page group, and ask people, and everyone was like, "Yeah, we're stuck at home too. We all want to make something, and everyone wants to collaborate." And it's wonderful the amount of people that want to hire you and to have you in their film and to have you in their short film. And it really gives us hope that there is really great people in the world that just genuinely want to help people.
Not to mention the idea that, like, you know, creativity and making projects cannot be held back by anything. Like, no matter what happens, even though it was like, hey, by the way, you can't be near each other at all. And you're like, all right, I'll figure it out. And then you found a way to still make something. Like, that's so important, not just like for your own personal souls, but for everybody to, like you said, gives you hope, gives me hope that like it got done, that like you guys put it together, that you like cared enough and worked on it and like found people and like became a community. Like, it's just, you know, there's so many rough things that have happened during 2020 that have made you just feel like, is theater never going to happen again? Am I never going to be on a stage? Is film just going to be for famous people who can afford the insurance? Like, you know, like the wild ideas of these things are like, anything is possible. So I don't know what to think. And seeing people make stuff, seeing people put things out and make it happen now, even though like some people are in like, you know, creative droughts, it's so empowering. It's so empowering. So to see that you guys made this during this time is like, oh, okay, good. We are still strong. We are people who are going to make stuff. Creativity is still a thing. They cannot take it from us. Like, yes. Go, you guys.
I think it's really, really important that when cones are in your way, you find a way to move and find a way to get across. And especially when people say, okay, guys, you guys are actors, you guys are creatives, you can't be with anyone within 6 feet. And it's like, well, what else can you do? You can start a podcast. You can go on the radio. You can do voices for a cartoon. You can do this. There's so many more avenues. And I think making a film or making a series for that matter, when you literally cannot make a series, you just have to find new ways and new creative ways to do it. And these lessons that we learned, I think personally, I'm probably going to take with us forever.
So true. There's a lot to learn from like feeling like you're trapped. If you can just really look around, you see so many blessings and so many opportunities that you can make happen.
Yeah.
Especially with all this I see online plays a lot, online Zoom readings, online classes. Now classes are such a huge thing now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like you've seen a lot of like master classes and that stuff. Yeah. I will say, from a stand-up point of view, these stand-up or sit-downs are not that fun. I am ready, but everything else, I agree. Like it's just finding like blessings. I always try to, you know, look to God first, and he always just says, you know, keep your head up. And like what people may see as like closed doors in that, I always just try to see it as like new magical doors being opened somewhere else. Or that might just change into a better door, you know? So like, get a cooler key, figure it out.
It's true. There's so many things that previous to the year of having to sit at home, like we didn't use, You know, like we could have all been video conferencing with each other so much. Zoom didn't get invented in 2020.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But like suddenly it is like cross-generationally, we all know how to use it now. Like the fact that my mom knows how to use it is insane. You know what I mean? Like the but with this idea that we like had to. Right. And I haven't lived near my mom in forever. Like we've just talked on the phone. Like what? OK, great. But now it seems like, well, we have to video if we can't see each other's faces. It's not. But it's so much more like now it's something. It's a technology that we didn't know we could use. And now it's so ubiquitous. And like there's a lot of things that have been blessings, especially in the arts world, like the unifying of you know, the communities across the world to be like, wait a minute, I like Shakespeare. You like Shakespeare? Or like, oh my God, you do improv over there? We do improv. Like whatever groups they're all connecting like across the world, you know, and that's really, really nice. Like it's just been a wonderful boon to see, you know, the way the creative community has stayed on top of it and like been working hard and using the new technologies and like you can't hold us back, like we're gonna make stuff.
So true, so true. I mean, that's how butterflies are made, right? In a little cocoon. If it was anywhere else, it wouldn't be a butterfly. Ooh, but sometimes you do need to be in that pressure to explode of like the creativity.
Yeah.
Knock down those doors, you know, kind of like a volcano thing, like knock out those doors. And yeah. So yeah. And then like you said,
there's been so many, a volcano,
like a volcano, like how it
volcanoes
starts.
Don't have doors.
No, you break open the top of a volcano.
It's like a door.
Oh.
It's like the door. Oh, so like right. A lot of us had stuff door. So much. Yeah. Had so much things in our hearts and in our minds and ideas. And we just didn't feel like we had the time or we didn't feel like we could do it. And like Amy made a good point. We've always had Zoom. We always could have put up something, but it wasn't until we were under pressure, right? Just like a volcano under pressure that exploded of all this. And like,
yeah. Like I did international phone interviews before COVID, but now I feel like I'm like close friends with people in other countries. That's like, are you kidding me? Like, how am I friends with people in India? Like, this is crazy.
So cool.
But because of the way that we are, like I mentioned before, like we all went through this same thing, right? So what we went through is universal. And so like how we made our way through it is our own journey, but like we all had to endure it, right? Which is again why Freshman Circus will be something that we will watch now, but then come back to and be like, I remember that. That was such a real thing. Like this is a moment in time that we have captured for this, right? But, you know, it's just like we want to create, and so we will, because it is in our bones.
So true. So true.
So Gary has his Ghost Stories book coming out soon. Gary, send me a link to that so I can tell everybody to buy it. But Noelle, what other projects are you working on right now? Like, what's your current jam that is, you know, something that you've been working on?
Yeah, I mean, I'm an actor first in that. So I'm on a show, Yippee. Check it out. It's TBN's faith-based show, yippee.tv. You can also catch it on YouTube for doing it free. The Yippee Show, me and my co-star Cameron. We play wacky doodle big kids. And we do crazy cool YouTube challenges and different things like that. And yeah, just have a super fun time. You'll see me eat crickets. I've had to do some crazy stuff. I have vomited multiple times on camera.
Most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
You have no idea. But you know, it makes good comedy, I guess. And I've just done some of like the coolest things. Paint with tiny hands, do different challenges, musical challenges. And I'm also on a show, Daily Devo, that's faith-based, that you can catch. It just actually got, it's back on again, January 25th today. You can catch it at the yippee.tv and, or on the Yippee, platform. And, yeah, so catch me there. And You can catch me some open mics, UCB, but unfortunately right now, RIP. And check out my website for more up-to-dates. That's NoelleGibsonOfficial.com. And yeah, those are the shows. And I have a Facebook commercial out that's still going, I think, until like April. I think that my contract's done. So yeah.
Like it. Fun. Yeah. Yeah. And were you able to just get back into, I know that that Freshman Circus was done on Zoom, but your kids show and Daily Devo are not on Zoom, are they?
No. These are actually, this is the network, you know, TBN network. So I was blessed to book this at the last bit end of 2019. So I got a few months into there, and then they picked it up for season two, and they did Yippee Stars at Home. I was, you know, one of the stars and that. So you got to follow me. That, you know, they sent me like cameras and things that I could do at home. And then they got picked back up in summer, and then it closed down again, unfortunately, because California went through a little surge here. But it's back open, and yeah, it's in the OC, Santa Ana, a little bit more conservative, so a little bit more lenient. But don't worry, I'm COVID protected, mask all around me.
Right on. I have friends in LA too who are acting, and they've like just haven't been able to get much done. Like they keep trying to start, and you know, a few friends on television shows where it's like, yeah, we did a week or two, and then they shut us down, and then
that's exactly how it was for me. That's why I said, yep. I just actually filmed today. Ironically, this is the first time since November because they closed it back down again. But good news is, I guess Gavin put it that TV and film is essential in LA now. So
sure.
Yes, we're coming back. But no, they're very right. I've been in and out. I was on a show this summer, Hot Mess Train, Hot Mess Express, as a guest star. And I got one day, and then I heard they went down into production again. So yeah, it's been just hit or miss. But man, I can't, like, I have been blessed during this year. God has totally taken care of me. So I was able to, you know, do Freshman Circus, you know, on my time, on the other times, and audition. And yeah, yeah, my heart goes out to a lot of us who are hiatus with shows and auditioning and that. But
I'm so glad that things have stayed, you know, like you've been able to do lots of different projects and stuff. That's really great.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And Gary, I'm so glad that you're creating projects as well, not just creating, you know, TV shows, but writing books. Are there any other Gary Productions happening other than your upcoming book? We got Freshman Circus. We got what's the ghost story book name? TBD.
It's called Everybody Loves a Ghost Story.
Nice.
I mean, everybody does.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing I'm working on right now that's going to be out, I'd say in a month, it's called Fandemic. 50 fans celebrate 50 years of cinema. So what I did is I got 50 fans together, and they're all reenacting a scene from a movie from a different year. So we will have the last 50 years of cinema all done by reenactments from people around the world. And we all put together into one collab, and it's just going to be a lot of fun, and it's very exciting.
Number one, Gara, I love that you just said collab. Number two, I love that your whole thing is like putting all this stuff together. Like, that's such a cool way of creating. Like, I have talked to hundreds of people, and usually, you know, they're creating projects, writing things, and you are too, but I love that this ghost story and this Fandemic thing are both like these pulling together of different stories and different productions and, you know, like scenes done from people. Like, so cool that you came up with these ideas. Like, they're just very original. Great job.
Yeah, well with Fandemic, the main part of it was I wanted to give people the opportunity to create something that they really like, even if it was from home. And the rules that I gave everyone was, you know, stay home and use what, you know, you have. And so people are, you know, this movie is going to cover the last 50 years of film. So you're going to have people, I think somebody is doing a scene from The Shining. someone's doing a scene from The Exorcist, some people are doing a scene from Willy Wonka, and we're all going to just put this into one film and show everyone, you know, how film has progressed, but also people doing stuff from home. And I just had somebody that did The Little Mermaid, and she did it. She reenacted a scene from Little Mermaid with her kids.
Oh my God, I love that. That's so fun.
Yeah, I just thought it was so wonderful to get the kids involved. And
yeah. Oh, so, I mean, man.
If it helps one family do something fun for a day and to get them to not think about the COVID, then I did my job right.
I know. You know, I never taught kids before COVID, but now I'm doing all these kids online improv classes, you know, largely to, you know, give the kids different activities to do. And also just to be like, hey, let's have fun. Who wants to have fun? There's not a lot of fun in the world right now. Let's be fun. Oh, man. You guys are so great. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Gary, Noelle. It has been so great to chat with you about your journeys, about such creative projects from both of you. And congratulations on Freshman Circus. Everybody should check it out and, you know, watch all of the episodes as they come out on Wednesdays. And then maybe we'll see these characters in a brand new adventure in season two. But thank you guys so much for being part of the podcast.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you so much, Amy.
Thanks for listening to Yes But Why Podcast. Check out all our episodes on yesbutwhypodcast.com or check out all the content on our network, HC Universal, at hcuniversalnetwork.com.